go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. We're visiting with Kevin Freeman, our senior fellow specializing in economic warfare at the Center for Security Policy. He also is an outsized contributor elsewhere to our thinking and situational awareness, as the military might say, about economic warfare threats, and some that are not simply threats, some that are upon us. You can find his writings at globaleconomicwarfare.com. Kevin, we were talking about the Chinese and the Saudis making common cause to our detriment. It was pointed out to me recently that when Prince Mohammed bin Salman, then the deputy crown prince of Saudi Arabia, was coming to Washington with much fanfare to meet with President Trump, the king of Saudi Arabia was in Beijing, and that the message wasn't lost, at least to anybody in the Middle East, as to who has more stroke with the Saudis, or who they at least want to have more stroke with, if put it differently. When you look at what's going on with this Saudi Aramco deal, Kevin Freeman, is there reason to be concerned that this could be a new vehicle for aligning the Chinese with the Saudis for the purpose of accomplishing a goal that it seems both of them have aspired to for some time, namely moving the sale of oil off of dollar-denominated arrangements? Is that in the cards, do you think?
Well, it's certainly reasonable. There is no question that the dollar has been propped up historically by the petrodollar. The fact that the Saudis, we would buy their oil at whatever exorbitant price, and they would recycle the dollars back into treasury bonds. That was something that was set up under Henry Kissinger. And on my desk, I have On China, written by Henry Kissinger. There's no doubt that that's a play. It's what they logically should do if they want to remove the dollar as the primary reserve currency, because it is energy that is the last major prop behind it. The fact that the Chinese own as much of our debt as they do, they can certainly point to the Middle East and say, look, they owe us. We own the dollar. And if we agree to remove it as the reserve currency, the Saudis and the Chinese are perfectly positioned to do that.
And Kevin Freeman, just remind us very quickly what it would mean for our, well, debt, among other considerations, if that were to eventuate.
Well, I'll put it this way. In 2008, when the global markets collapsed, the dollar was extra strong because people ran to a safe haven, and people around the world put their money in what they thought was safe, and they put it in the U.S. dollar, which was a great frustration to Vladimir Putin, who's like, in his view, he said, the Americans caused this crisis and they're benefiting from it because their dollar is strong. We owe $20 trillion, approximately, $19.9 trillion, something like that. If they no longer wanted to buy our debt as the safe haven, gold standard, perfect currency to own, then we would have to raise interest rates. If you increase interest rates by 5% at $20 trillion, that's $1 trillion a year that would be added to the federal debt. It also makes homes more expensive, cars more expensive. It, in short, would cause a massive slowdown in our economy. So it's a very dangerous thing if that happened overnight.
Kevin, you've been working for some time to acquaint us not only with that particular threat vector, but also with cyber. Of course, you've written in your book, Game Plan, about cyber economic threats to us. And I'm minded of that in connection with two instances in which cyber features prominently. You might not think of it as economic warfare exactly, but it is a big deal in terms of espionage. Talk, if you would, about these two items. The latest developments on the House information technology scandal involving, we're told, as many as perhaps 80 Democratic members of Congress. What's the story there, Kevin?
Well, we had some staffers, Pakistani-tied staffers, that were working for Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who is the who was at the time the head of the DNC, and they're mysteriously employed beyond their skill sets or beyond anyone else working in the IT area for Congress. They were rarely showing up to meetings. They were given special privileges and permissions, and then they were mysteriously disappearing. There were laptops. I mean, it is an entire, it could be a great movie. It looks like spying. It looks like blackmail. It looks like all kinds of things.
Particularly interesting, Kevin Freeman, against the backdrop of the president's speech about Afghanistan yesterday. As you know, he spoke specifically about the need to intensify pressure on the Pakistanis. These were Pakistani nationals, and there's some concern, evidently, now. I've felt this from the get-go, frankly, upon first learning about this, that this may well have been a Pakistani intelligence operation, or at the very least that they might have benefited from what these Pakistani nationals were getting access to. Does that sound right to you? And just how serious a problem is Pakistan in this regard?
Well, it absolutely seems right in a couple of things. Number one, they were placed there mysteriously and how they got those positions. But they had access to classified email systems and the emails of members of the intelligence committees and so forth. So it's an enormous amount. And even after they were under suspicion, they kept their job. That tells me that they were being blackmailed. This looks like a classic operation from a spy agency infiltrating our Congress. And I think that's the fear, is that that's possibly so. And if it turns out to be true, it is one of the largest scandals in American history.
It hasn't been treated as such just yet, but it's certainly beginning to get that kind of attention, and it's long overdue, to my judgment. Let me ask you about one other instance of this. There's a report about a group called Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity that has been doing forensic analysis of this so-called Russian hacking of the Democratic National Committee. Kevin Freeman, what are your thoughts on where the truth lies with respect to all of that?
Well, the political bias of this group, one might argue, is left-leaning in that they came after President Bush on his WMD findings in the intelligence community. They claim to be nonpartisan, and so it makes even more profound their conclusion, which is they're virtually certain that the Democrat National Committee emails that got leaked out there were not hacked, but were rather handed off as an inside job. And the analysis they did is spot on. It's virtually impossible to have hacked the DNC and downloaded those files at the rapid file speed. And all the Russian information appears to have been added later. And so they say, this was wrong. This is not an evidence of Russian hacking. Now, you tie that to the first issue that you raised, and Debbie Wasserman Schultz having these Pakistani IT staffers in her office. Maybe it wasn't an outside job. Maybe it was an inside job. And could it be related to that? We don't know.
Yeah. Well, we certainly have been told, Kevin Freeman, that Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the then chairman of the Democratic National Committee, had these Pakistani nationals, at least one of them, Imam Arwan, allowed access to the passwords for her iPad for the DNC. So there's a possible means, if not clear motive, and it definitely requires close scrutiny. Kevin, we have to leave it at that. We are over time. Thank you so much for your efforts to illuminate all these issues for us and giving us an extra segment of your time today. Keep up the good work, my friend, and congratulations on your upcoming new project, Economic War Room with Kevin Freeman at Blaze TV. Check it out. Come back to us again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.